So we're going to talk about Chalav Yisrael. The question that we're going to try to answer today, which we dealt with a little bit at the beginning of the year when it comes to, you know, milk in Israel, Shkafas in Israel. But now I want to deal with a little bit more of the background to understand a bit of the controversy of something which really affects us every single day, certainly when we're in Chutz La'aretz, also in Eretz Yisrael, but more so in Chutz La'aretz. The question is, how do we define Chalav Yisrael? That's number one. That's number one. And question number two is whether we have to keep Chalav Yisrael today. Okay, that's question number two. Yes. So what we're going to do is start with, we're going to look through the three cases in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the three cases in the Shulchan Aruch are all based on the Gemara, but the Shulchan Aruch puts them together very nicely. So we'll look them through the eyes of the Shulchan Aruch. Then from there, we'll try to take it to the next, you know, next level and the next level, and try to figure out what the halacha should be today, what the different opinions are. Okay? Here we go. Anybody want to read?
Yeah.
Yes, Malka, start. You can do case two. There are three cases here, so there's enough for all of you. Go. What's the case? Translate, explain.
Okay. Milk that was milked by an Ovei Kochamim.
Good. A goy. Okay. And?
We define that as goy, not like an actual.
For these halachos, we define it as a goy, any non Jew.
Okay. And Jew didn't see.
Okay.
Asr. Good.
Excellent. Okay, so the halacha is that the milk is usher. What's the reason why it's usher? Good. Good. It didn't get mixed in by itself, obviously.
Did not put it. Good. They want to keep kosher and I won't let them, or is it to say it's cheaper this way?
The answer is it doesn't really matter why. The concern is that maybe the non-Jew put in some non-kosher milk. It happens to be that non-kosher milk is actually
contamination,
exactly. It happens to be that non-kosher milk is actually more expensive than kosher milk. But
fools.
But that's the Gzeirah Chazal made. Yeah.
Why would we translate
it? Well, in this case, it has nothing to do with whether he worships idols or not. It only has to do with the question of whether he's putting non-kosher milk in or not. So we're concerned that any non-Jew might be inserting some non-kosher milk in together with your cow's milk. Good question. The answer is, it's discussed by the poskim today. We're not going to have a chance to talk about it, although we really should. Generally speaking, I think Rav Vosner and Rav Whitman, who's the head of the Rav of Tanuma, I believe that they think that it does not apply. Maybe you don't have to worry about that. Okay. Rabbi Jaffer talks about it in his article here. He does mention something about it. I forgot exactly who he quotes, but I think they usually assume that it's not a problem. Okay, do you guys have the sheets? The sheet, the Chalav Yisrael sheet that I gave out like a couple weeks ago. Okay, so the week I wasn't here, I left it in my box. Okay, if you don't have, here, if you don't have it, you can take this one. Okay, we'll take that. If you don't have it. Good. So that's the story there. I had to use it for the other class also because the copy machine is not working. So okay. I basically they used the sheets and I asked them to give it back to me to give it to you guys and then I'll give them. I'll make more copies later when the machine works next time. What's the problem?
Okay. Right.
Yeah, you can write it. You can keep those. I'll make more copies for them.
You guys.
Okay. So that's the that's the story. That's the story with that. I forgot where it is. He talks about it somewhere. The non-religious Jews. Here. Yeah. Rav Moshe talks about it also, actually, but it's not in the Shuvah that we're reading right now. It's in the Shuvah right before that. I think it's in the end. It's a machlokas al poskim, but many poskim are makil. Now that's case number one. Okay, that's the basic zera of Chalav Akum is case number one. What's case number two? Go. Okay, translate.
The non-Jewish person is milking the cow inside, and a Jew is sitting outside. If the Jew knows that the person doesn't have any tummy stuff with him,
meaning his flock. There's no non-kosher animals in his flock.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, just parenthetically, you guys know that, I'm assuming you guys know this, but just to review, what's considered to be non-kosher milk? What's non-kosher milk?
Non-kosher.
Good. Any non-kosher animal, the milk that it produces will be not kosher, because yotze min ha-tameh tameh, that's the expression in the Gemara, in Bechoros, anything which comes after a non-kosher animal is itself not kosher.
But not honey.
Okay? Excuse me?
But not honey.
Correct. The same Gemara Bechoros deals with honey. Also, honey is the exception.
Honey comes from animals?
Bees.
You knew that, right?
You knew that. You did know that.
You did know that, right?
But I didn't think bees are animals.
Thank God the reporting was low on that.
That's so awkward.
Here we go. So, we have a case where the Jew is outside and there's no non-kosher animal in the flock. Okay. So the shaila is, in this case, second. So what's the halacha is that it's mutar. Okay, why is it mutar in this case?
There's no chance.
One at a time.
Tali,
you first.
There's no chance that I think Tali would have gotten it.
Okay, why not? Why is there no chance?
Because he's certain that there's no non-kosher animals in the flock.
There's no non-kosher animals in the flock, so therefore there can't possibly be any non-kosher milk. Why then must the Jew sit outside?
So you can watch the door.
Good, watch the door, because
the guy might bring in a non-kosher
animal. Very good. Who knows what might walk in the door? Okay, you'd want to make sure that the guy doesn't bring in any other non-kosher animals from the outside. Good. Yes, question.
How do you know the guy didn't have, pig milk that's like heat in his pocket?
Let's assume that you searched the place carefully and you could tell that there's nothing else there. Okay.
No, the guy, not the place, the
non-Jew. Yes, you have to check.
Came in, snuck pig milk in. I'm gonna get those Jews.
You can get those Jews. You can assume that. If you search properly, you can assume that there's no
milk there.
Second?
You don't have to search the guy.
I don't know if you have to do what they do at the airports. I don't have to take him apart and take off his clothes, but you have to see if he looks like he's bulging a little bit. So in the airport, they would think maybe he's carrying a bomb. Okay, in the farm, maybe they assume he's carrying pig's milk. I don't know. No, you can usually assume if he looks normal, you can assume that he's not hiding any pig milk anywhere. Most people don't.
Sinister.
Most people that are in farms don't even have jackets in the first place. They have shorts and t-shirts. Okay, so there's not usually too much to worry about. Yeah.
This might not be making most sense, but what if it's an animal that it's a cross.
Or any milk, any animal that could give milk, you would be subject to this question. Okay. It would be a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, Sarah.
Go back to the first point.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone already asked this, but let's say just for practical, whatever, in Israel, is it common that Arabs or non-Jews milk the cows?
It's not common, but it does happen sometimes. Meaning there are some farms where they actually do have non-Jewish workers, where this is actually a problem even in Israel. And therefore, the Rabbanut has to be makbet. The Rabbanut is makbet on Chol of Yisrael. So they're actually makbet to make sure that the non-Jews do not milk, or are not there for the milking, or at the very least, this is also a discussion in some of the poskim, can use a video camera. Meaning if the non-Jew is milking the cow, but the Jew can watch on the video camera in his office to see what's happening, is that considered to be Chol of Yisrael? And Ravel, I think Ravel Yashav and others held that that was sufficient to qualify as Chol of Yisrael. So that's okay.
The non-Jew can actually do the milking if someone's watching him?
Yeah.
The
case in the Shulchan Aruch is only where a non-Jew milks the cow and a Jew does not see it. Okay, look at your sheet again. The very first line. That's what we read before. Okay, if the Jew doesn't see it, then it's Chol of Akum. If the Jew watches him do it, then it's fine. Why? Because if the Jew watches him, we know that he's not inserting anything else into the milk that he should not be. Okay, any pig's milk or anything else like that. Okay, good. This is case number two. It's case number three. Keep reading.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hayal odavar tamei bedrom, v'hayishra'al yoshem yochot, v'ha'olif kochim holei v'tzor efetram, apidu inu yachol v'rochot v'shuvu yoshem, v'mach yachol v'rochot v'shuvu omen v'har. Shira shem ha'yado v'yarayu, v'hu sheyudei shachalav tamei asor l'yitram.
Okay.
So, meaning that if he had somebody that was tamei in his flock, and a Jewish person sitting outside, but not in the goy sitting outside and milking the cow or whatever, even if he can't see him, even if the Jew can't see the non-Jew when he's sitting,
right?
But he can see him when he's standing, then he can use it because maybe the non-Jew will be nervous that he uses it, then he knows that now.
Excellent. Okay. Did everybody get this? Okay, so the case here is that the Jew standing outside, there are non-kosher animals inside the flock. Okay, the Jew cannot actually see what's happening right now when he's sitting down outside. However, if he would stand up, he would be able to see inside. The halacha is, in that case, that the milk is mutter. Okay, why is it mutter? Exactly what Talia said. Okay, because the non-Jew is scared. Okay, the non-Jew is scared that maybe the Jew will stand up and see what he's doing. So he's going to be careful not to do anything inappropriate, lest the Jew stand up and catch him in the act. Again, here, as the Ramah points out, we assume that the non-Jew knows that the Jew can't drink any milk which is not kosher. Okay, he doesn't realize that this doesn't help at all. But if he knows that, therefore, he's going to make sure to not pull any fast ones because the Jew might catch him. Okay? Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? No? Yeah? Good? Okay. Can I erase this?
Yeah.
Or you still need it? Okay.
Can you use the last one?
Yeah. Okay. Now, here comes the next question.
Wait,
this is
a Jew is milking the cow? Or
in all of these cases, the non-Jew is milking the cow.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, here comes the next question. Okay. What will you tell me if I ask you the following question? This would be number four. Okay. Let's say there's no non-kosher animals around. You are sure, it's clear, that there are no non-kosher animals around. Okay. Can you drink the milk if the Jew's not there? Okay. Let's read it. I'm going to show you the case inside so you'll know, you'll have an idea of what I'm talking about here.
Sure.
Oh, so take a look here at source number two. Okay, this is the Chuas Harad Baz, Rav David Ben Zimra. One of the later Sephardic Rishonim. So he has the following question. Alright. Sheila. Ocha alta. Chalav shechalbo akum. Ve'en Yisrael ro'eidu. Okay, same case. The Jew doesn't see the non-Jew milking the cow. Ve'en sham davar tameh. Okay, there's no non-kosher animal there. Sheodia zeb bebeirur. You know clearly, 100%, that there's no non-kosher animal there. Kigon, for example. She'en ba'makom lo gamav lo chamor tekeva. There's no camels, there are no female donkeys, there are no non-kosher animals in the area. Okay? The whole area around the farm, there's nothing, there's no non-kosher animals anywhere nearby. Okay? Or if the case is the flock is inside, let's say a barn or a pen. Uvadak v'loyasham devar tamei. The Jew went inside and checked. He did not find any tamei animals inside. V'yatza. He went out. He hung out somewhere else on the farm. And then the non-Jew brought milk from that pen. Okay, there's nowhere else around to milk the cow. Okay, there's no other options. Okay, let's say, you know, he couldn't bring anything else from the outside because the Jew would have seen him. Okay, the Jew wasn't right there, he's somewhere else, but the Jew would have seen if some other animal came in from the outside. But the Jew didn't actually see any part of the milking process. He's not standing right outside, he's not standing inside, but he knows 100% that the milk is kosher. Hashayla. Okay, the shayla is, okay, the practical halakha shayla is the milk mutter. Okay. What do you think in this case, based on what we've seen?
Yeah.
Yes. Why?
Because there's no access to it.
Okay. Good. Can anybody want to say the other way? Anybody want to disagree?
Yeah.
You want to take both sides? Yes, Malka.
Sure.
Okay.
Because like, how do you know like, for sure? And also, like it's brought down in the earth. How can you be sure that there wasn't something going on? Like maybe he had.
Maybe he snuck it in somewhere. Okay. Good. Yeah. Chazar chalav chalav chazir basakit. Good. Okay. Could be. Yeah.
Like to add on the
long
basakit.
I got the
reference.
What?
He doesn't have the Jew sitting on top of him watching him.
Okay. Good. All right. So what you're saying is that yes, it's true that we know that you know that he doesn't really have any non-kosher milk there, but we don't really know. Okay. Good. The Radbaz here assumes that the cases that you really do know. Okay. He assumes that there's no. It's impossible because he, you know, there's no non-kosher animals there. You looked around and he's not hiding anything. There's no other non-kosher animals in the whole city. Maybe even in the whole country. There's no non-kosher animals that are used for milking. Okay. And let's say he has no pockets, so there's no possibility of chalav chazir basaki or whatever. Let's say, so his shayla is a little different than that, okay? There's another possible way to look at the shayla. Look what he says here, very, very interesting. Keep reading, okay? He says, klala shayla im gzeirata chalav shechabo akum habi ke gzeirat gvinata nachrim De paskusha afilu makom shemabidi lasob esraf afilu achi aser mishum kevan shegazru gazru v'chein machalav udzel malo. Okay, for cheese, where I don't know if we're going to get to it today. But basically, cheese is aser all the time. Okay. No.
I mean,
let me just say the other side here inside, and you can tell me. Okay. So what he's saying is that in the case of cheese, right? The story with the cheese is that cheese is usher if it's made by a non-Jew, even if you are 100% sure that there is that it's not that it's kosher. Okay. Again, it's not clear. The Gemara has a few different reasons. I wanted to deal with this separately, so I don't want to get into it now. But basically, the point is that it was a gzera. Okay, the Chazal made a gzera that cheese is usher regardless of what's inside. Okay, I mean there were initial reasons why they made the gzera, but now even if the reasons don't apply, halacha is that it is usher. The shaila is whether the same thing applies to milk or not. Is chalav akum also a gzera, a rabbinic decree like cheeses? Or maybe chalav is different, okay? Maybe chalav akum is a problem, not that the rabbis made a decree, a formal decree, but rather the rabbis simply said any case where there is a possible chance, a possible concern that you add in non-kosher milk into your kosher milk, you have to be machmir. But it doesn't mean that every single case of non-kosher of milk from a non-Jew, you can't eat. You can't eat. That's the second side of this. Can everybody hear the two sides? Yeah.
Well, what about milk from like a non-religious
Jew? Okay, good. So there also, that's why that's a discussion. Okay, it's a discussion. It's a machlokas opposing there also. Do we have the same concern by a non-religious Jew? Now, one side could be, say again? Not necessarily, because you could still say that, put it this way, if you hold that it was never gzera in the first place, then the concern is just whether, you know, not from Jews would possibly introduce other not, you know, not, what's it called? You know, non-kosher milk into their kosher milk, and the answer is probably not. So the non, you know, the non-Jewish milk, what?
Why would they? Why would a non-Jew do it?
Unclear. But at least that's the case that Chazal talked about. In the case where the Jews do it, Chazal didn't talk about that case. But you're right. I mean, some poskim are machmir there. But I think that it's more based on the fact that it's a gzera. I mean, if the gzera is a gzera, so then the gzera applies across the board to non-Jews, and maybe applies across the board to Jews also, because you can't be certain that, as you said, you can't be certain that there's no non-kosher milk there. Probably not, but...
your own milk, then. You can't maybe. Any other Jew milk.
Maybe. If the Jew's not religious.
Well, what's to stop you from going to the next step? What's stopping you saying you can't... like, you can't have milk from a religious Jew.
Because a religious Jew is trustworthy. A religious Jew is trustworthy. Okay, we assume that he's not going to be sticking any non-kosher milk. Non-kosher milk is not easy to find. It's not so simple to do this. Even back 500 years ago, it was not so simple to do this. But, you know, the concern was that it was a possibility, and therefore Chazal wanted to be machmir. Okay? So that's the story. Now, basically what he answers is the following. He says, Tshuva. Hadavar barur ki agvina nesra b'minyan. Okay, it's clear that cheese was usher b'minyan, meaning the rabbis took a vote. Okay, the same thing as if you had like the United Nations or the U.S. government, whatever it is, they took a vote. Do we think that we should forbid milk today, non-Jewish milk? Some people said yay, some people said nay, right? But most people, the majority, right? Majority said they wanted to forbid it. Therefore, they decided to forbid it. Okay, that was the case when it came to cheese. Because that's, he says, what the Gemara says, that's what we hold. Avalokin b'chalav shechalav nachri, but he says, but milk is different. If it was milked by a non-Jew, sha'asur eso mishum chashash davar tameh. Okay, he says, milk that was milked by a non-Jew is only asur because of the concern of putting something tameh inside. And therefore, okay, if that's the only concern, it only applies in a situation where you actually have that concern. But if you are sure that there's no non-kosher milk there, meaning that you're in a place where there's no non-kosher animals nearby, or whatever the case is, then the Rabbaz says that the milk is permitted, there was never any gzera, and the chashash does not apply. Okay? He says, Tata, I'll prove it to you. You know why? Because look at the case in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, if it was in a place where we said the case where the Jew stands outside and he could have seen what was going on inside, but it says that he didn't actually see the milking. What's the halacha? Is it okay?
Yeah,
but he didn't see the milking. For goodness gracious, he didn't see it. There's another non-kosher animal inside the flock, but it's mutter. He says, "Vim gzeirah kolitai talohavi matirin ki agavna." He says, if it was really a gzeira, would you be allowed to permit that case? If it was a real gzeira that cries across the board? The case where the Jew's standing outside and could see inside, but he doesn't actually see the milking, and there's even a non-kosher animal inside. Basically, case number 3 that we talked about before. How could it possibly be mutter if it's a real gzeira? The Gemara never would have permitted that case. He says, what do we see from there, says the Radbaz? We see that what? Huh? Yeah, he says, it's not a real gezerah. He says, that's, therefore, we see that it is permitted. Okay, that is the idea of the Radbaz. Okay, the pre-Chadash also holds like the Radbaz here. Okay, the pre-Chadash lived in Amsterdam, a couple hundred, 2 years later maybe, something like that. They basically were makil any time that you have a situation where you know that there's no non-kosher animals and no non-kosher milk. For example, in all of Holland, in all of Amsterdam, there were no non-kosher animals that were milked. Therefore, they say that it's mutzer. Okay. However, yeah.
How do you know that?
They know. They, you know, they looked around. They knew that there was no
census of cows.
Yeah, no. There were no other farms in that area that had non-kosher animals that they used for milking. Like, they had milk farms, whatever it was, and in those milk farms they didn't have non-kosher animals. So they knew. You're right. Maybe they didn't really know, but they knew. Basically, it was pretty obvious. Okay, but you're right. It's not 100%. 99.9% obvious. Okay, that's the right bias. Who disagrees? Next source. The Pisei Shuva quoting the Chasam Sofer. Okay, the Chasam Sofer disagrees. Look what he says.
When was the Pisei Shuva?
He lived, I think, in the 1800s, maybe 1700s, or exactly.
When was the Chasam Sofer?
I guess you're right, he was later. I guess the Pisei Shuva was mid to late 1800s, and the Chasam Sofer was also in the 1800s.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact dates, unfortunately, of his life. You can look it up if you need. So he says, Sheha'arich lavi ra'as t'chal v'nesar v'minyan ki'ay nesar. The Chasam Sofer elaborated to bring proof that milk is usher the same way that yayin nesach is usher. He says, even in a place where there's no concern of chalav tameh, kol sheni shor reyu, usher. Any case where the Jew did not see the milking, the halacha is the milk is usher against the Radbaz. Okay, the Chasam Sofer disagrees with the Radbaz. Okay, he says, v'atim b'liya halacha k'Radbaz, even if the halacha is like the Radbaz, it doesn't matter. You know why? Because he says, "Kfar kibwa l'seinu alem kosa diad machmir." He says, "Our ancestors, our forefathers in Europe, have already accepted upon themselves to be machmir, like the opinion that it's usher." The usher al bnei Ashkenaz bin Dina, and therefore Ashkenazim halachically are usher to drink chalav akum because of the minhag. Once they've accepted it upon themselves as a minhag, the minhag takes on the status of halacha. The ein lo hatar, you can't even do hataras nedarim. The kar beinah the neder deraisa. He says you can't even have a neder. It's close to a neder deraisa. In that case, the Chasam Sofer is very, very much machmir, and his idea is that was there a gzeira?
Yes,
there absolutely was a gzeira, and therefore you have to be machmir, and that's the end of the story.
So or maybe no. What about the
no.
Machmir?
What? No. He says that there was a gzeira, and therefore it's usher. And he says, even if you disagree and hold that the halacha is like the Radbaz, that there was no gzeira, it doesn't matter because the people have accepted upon themselves the minhag to be machmir. And once you accept upon yourself a minhag, especially as a group of people, that becomes halacha. I guess you're right. I mean, pre-Chadash and Radbaz happen to both be Sfardim. However, it's not clear that all the Sfardim posts have accepted this, and Rav Avadia Yosef actually is machmir on this, even though he's...
Do you know what
Bnei Ashkenaz means here? Bnei Ashkenaz means Ashkenaz means Germany. It means Austria-Hungary, Germany, those areas. Okay. Yeah, but it's not like the Sfardim. It's not that all Sfardim were Mekil. In Amsterdam, the Sfardim were Mekil, according to the Pre-Chadash. But the Chiddush quotes, and this is what Rav Avadia says. The Chiddush quotes other. The Chiddush is also a Sfardim. He quotes that in other places, including in Eretz Yisrael, that the Sfardim were Machmir. So it's not only Ashkenaz Sfard. It's
partially.
We didn't get to nowadays yet.
But I would say like, this would probably
be. Put it this way, it seems that most Jews in Europe were machmir to have real Chalav Yisrael. Okay, before World War II, it seems that that was the minhag in Europe, and most Jews, though not all, most Jews were machmir in Europe to have Chalav Yisrael. Okay? And that's, he says, that's the minhag, and that's it. Good?
Yep.
Next question. Okay, what is the story today? Okay, the 20th century in the United States and other similar countries. Okay, can you drink milk from a non-Jew? Do you have to not be on Chol Yisrael? What do you say? Oh, 1 second. So before we get to motion, okay, this is number 5, right?
Okay.
Chol of Akum. Actually, we will get to motion. Okay, Chol of Akum today. Okay, now, what are the conditions today of Chol of Akum? Okay. Number one, what's happening in Chol of Akum today? Okay. Put it this way. Are there any Jews watching it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Maybe.
Not usually. Okay. Not usually. However, what we have today that they did not have earlier? They have government supervision. Okay.
So the shaila is today, is this going to be any different than the halacha was before?
So comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein and says, absolutely, yes, there is a difference. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to go in and say, the government's making sure that you don't mix it.
Okay.
Why is the government making sure that you don't mix it?
You tell me. Why is the
health
government... health concerns and regulation. They just want to make sure that you don't... If you have cow's milk, you want to make sure that it's cow's milk. You don't want people thinking that, you know, it's cow's milk and then suddenly there's pig's milk inside. Whatever it is, you know, it could be serious problems and people will get sued or whatever. Who knows what?
All sorts of different things. They're preventing goat's milk also.
Goat's milk, though, can be sold in separately. Pig's milk cannot.
Why can't pig's milk be sold?
To be honest, I don't remember. Is it because it's not healthy? Yeah, you can't sell pig's milk.
Not commercially.
Not commercially. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's health concerns, but I could be wrong. I have to, unfortunately, they asked me that in the other class also, and unfortunately I didn't bother to look that up. I figured that was obvious. Yeah. Even if I didn't know. But I think it's health concerns, but I could be wrong.
English people can't get blood because of mad cow disease.
Oh, interesting. What does that prove?
That's a health concern.
I see. It has nothing to do with this, though. So you're way off.
Okay.
Cows, I understand. Yeah, got that. All right. Okay, let's go on. All right, I don't really see the connection, but it's fine. All right. Okay, Waka, you're not making a fool of yourself. It's all right. I still respect it. No, I'm just kidding. Still respect it. Okay. So this is the shalach. So come from Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe, famous tshuva. This is like one of his most famous tshuvas. Chelak Aleph, some of them Zion. There are a few other rows also, but this is the main one. Uvedavah Chalav Shelha. Read the next word, somebody. Companies. Very good. Okay. Bimdinatenu, classic rabbinic Hebrew, right? Companies. Bimdinatenu, Asher Yesh Pikuach Memshalah, we have government supervision. V'im Yarvu Chalav Be'imat Tzmeah Yanshu. What's going to happen if the person in the farm wants to try to introduce non-kosher milk? Okay? He's first going to have to come to, you know, his advisor, his supervisor, and say, excuse me, can you just look the other way? Here's $1,000, right? Cool, go over there for a second. Okay, fine, go that way. Stick the milk in. Next person, government inspector. Oh, Mr. Government Inspector, it's nice to see you, right? Maybe, would you like to take another $2,000 and just go over there for a few minutes? Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll look the other way while you do whatever you want to do. Sticks the milk in, goes, brings it to the stores, okay? And, you know, it's all bottled, and the bottlers and the distributors and everybody, yeah, accept the money, please. Will you maybe take some money? Can I bribe you so you look the other way so I can, you know? It doesn't work. They're going to fine you. They're going to close your business. Okay? If there's government supervision, so what? How often, why does that make a difference? Because what?
They won't do it.
Why not?
Good.
Mirtas. Okay? We had it in the Gemara. They're scared. Just like the third case in the Shulchan Aruch. They're scared. They won't do it. They do not want to be closed down. Okay? He says there's a big reason to be matir. Af below shitas a prichadash. He says even if you don't rely on a prichadash, you can still be mekel. Mishum de ha'ikar yediyah brura hu kiriyah mamish. He says because yediyah brura, 100% clear knowledge, is kiriyah mamish, is as if you actually saw. Okay. He quotes a Gemara in Shmuz, which we're not going to go into now, of Edus Mamun, also which we see from there clearly that if you have the idea of Ruah, if you know for sure, it's as if you actually saw it. The Af Eidik Kiyum of the Kiddushin, even when it comes to Kiddushin. Sha'af Shalawa El Ha Yichud, even if you only saw Yichud, who Kiroah Bia Mamish. That's good enough to assume that they actually did Kiddushin with Bia, and there's actually Bia that took place. The Nas is Ashes Ish Kamura. Af the Chayav Misa, Habalala. She becomes an Ashes Ish, even to be Chayav Misa. For somebody who has relations with her afterwards, she would be chayav misa achar. Let's shalom this post about kiddushin acharim, and so that if somebody else gave her kiddushin, it's not valid because she's married. Did they actually see bia? No, they saw the yichud. But yediyah berurah, it's clear 100% that the bia actually happened if they saw the yichud and the beginning stages. Therefore, that is considered to be kiriyah mamash, as if you actually saw it. Lachain says Rav Moshe b'chalash asurak b'chal bo akum veini shorarehu. Okay. If you have basically milk where it's the non-Jewish milk, the Jew did not see it. Yesh lahatir gam b'Yisrael yodin diya brua dehavi kiriyah. You can be matir if the Jew knows 100% clearly that there's no non-kosher milk in it, because that's considered to be as if he saw it. B'zesh im ya'avu ya'anshuv yitzarchu liskor ha'isik shalahem, and the fact that they if you mix in other milk, they'll get fined and they'll have to close. Hu harbacha shalkahama alafim, they'll have to lose thousands and thousands of dollars. And the government supervises it. He says that certainly qualifies as yedia brura, which is as if we saw it, which is not included in the gzera of chalav akum. This is chalav Yisrael, according to Moshe. Okay, it's Chalav Yisrael because we know clearly that there's nothing else there. He says this is according to everybody. All she disagree with this. There's no reason to distinguish here. Okay? Somebody wants to be Mekil has a great reason to do so. Varashayan is permitted to do so. This is what most people do. Most people, Shomrei Torah, people that are Shomrei Torah, the Gav Harbei Rabbanim are making all this. V'chas v'shalom lomar shosin shalok kedin. V'chas v'shalom to say that they're doing shalok kedin. Okay. Avam lot mikol akom, he says, l'balei nefesh min arei v'achmir. He says, for balei nefesh, you have to be machmir. The aim is a mishum yura. Okay. There's no question of being haughty here. There's no problem of being, of yura, of being gaivadik by saying, I'm ha ha ha, I'm machmir on Chalav Yisrael, I'm better than you. That's not a problem. Maybe you shouldn't be so gaivadik, but you're, you know, it's not a problem of yuhara. The kachani yoreg lachmir latzmi. Rav Moshe says, I myself am machmir on this. Aval mi sherotzeh lahakil hu oseh kedina. Somebody who wants to be mekil does absolutely is doing it halachali properly. If ein lach shiva kemizalzel beisurim, do not think that he is degrading or you know zalzel beisurim. He's taking prohibitions lightly. It's absolutely halachically permitted. And you should know, by the way, this tshuva was written in the 1950s. Okay, today Chalav Yisrael is much much more easier to get in the United States. Rav Moshe himself does say here that it's appropriate for a Baal Nefesh to be Machmir. Apparently, Rav Moshe encouraged people to be Machmir on Chalav Yisrael, but not halachic reasons, only for hashkafic reasons, for chinuch reasons, to make sure that people understand how important halacha is, and you know that Chalav Yisrael is a halacha on the books, even if he felt very strongly, and he says in another tshuva, that if you feel that, if you're being Machmir on Chalav Yisrael because you think that it's usur, he basically says you're wrong. Okay? He feels clearly that it's mutter, but he says you should be machmer anyway because of chinuch ideas and you know the ideas of taking these types of things very very seriously. Okay, and he says specifically for schools. It's not on the sheet here, but he says for schools they should be back on Chalav Yisrael to show for good chinuch that people know what Chalav Yisrael is and to show how careful we are about issues and halacha, etc., etc. What?
I learned that.
You did, but then they taught you that in high school, but then you didn't actually drink Chalav Yisrael milk, right? I didn't think so either. Okay.
It wasn't like the school didn't provide us milk. It was like a service.
I see.
Like, but, not like a service, but like...
I understand, but they didn't order a service that provides Chalav Yisrael milk. Again, halacha, is it usher? No, it's not usher. Okay, it's mutter. It's absolutely mutter. Rav Moshe is recommending it because he feels that it's good chinuch for schools. Okay, so that's Rav Moshe's tshuva. Okay, again, keep in mind that today it's much easier to get Chalav Yisrael milk, but that's what Rav Moshe holds. Here's a shiloh. Again, we don't have time to get into this so much, but Rav Moshe says his opinion his opinion can work even according to the Chasam Sofer. My question to you is, does that really make sense? Okay, does it really make sense that according to the Chasam Sofer would agree with Rav Moshe's tshuva here? What do you think? Nobody has anything to say about this. Wow.
Well,
tell me the two sides. What do you think that this case is really the same? Is really not included in the Chasam Sofer's issue? Just work through it. It's not hard. I mean, it's complicated. It's not easy. The answer is not simple, but it's not hard to figure out what the question would be. Okay. According to the Chasam Sofer, why? What's the idea that he rejected the pre-Chadash? Good. It's a gzera. You can't make exceptions to the gzera once Chazal made the gzera. Do you think that concept applies here as well?
What do you mean?
Okay, I'll just explain to you what I mean. If you haven't gotten it by now, the Chasam Sofer, if he holds that the whole thing is based on a gzera and the gzera applies across the board without exceptions, it stands to reason that the Chasam Sofer would not have been Mekil in this case. Why? Because the Gzeira should still apply. I don't care who's supervising the milk. As long as the Jew's not there, the Gzeira of Chalav Akum applies, and that's the end of the story. No exceptions. That's what I would have thought. Okay, Rav Moshe apparently disagrees. How could Rav Moshe possibly disagree with that? The idea is that in the Chasam Sofer's case, there was no government supervision. So maybe the Chasam Sofer would say that the Gzeira only applies in a case where there's no government supervision. But if there was government supervision, the Chasam Sofer would basically agree with Rav Moshe, but I don't know. It's not so clear. Okay, the halacha is not so clear in this situation. Okay, I'm not convinced that the Chasam Sofer would definitely agree with Rav Moshe. I happen to think Rav Moshe's svara makes a lot of sense because in the Shulchan Aruch we already saw a case of mirtas, which was clear that it's mutter in that case. That was case number 3 in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch clearly, based on the Gemara, applied the concept of mirtas and made it mutter. I think Rav Moshe makes a lot of sense. However, I'm not sure the Chasam Sofer would definitely have agreed with Rav Moshe's tshuva. Yeah.
Is there Rav Moshe's, like, allowing it.
Yes.
Is that based off of, like, they're going to be fined or they're going to be closed?
Both. They won't, the non-Jew won't do it because he will be fined and his business will be closed and he'll lose a lot of money.
So, like, is it purely from the money standpoint?
Yeah.
Or as in, like, relying on the super.
What do you think they care about? They don't care about quality. Well, I mean, they care about money. Everybody cares about money.
Because if they care about money.
What else do you care about? What else is important?
So then, like, going back to the original case of, like, why Chalav Achim was, like, prohibited in the first place.
Yeah.
You said that, like, non-kosher milk from a non-kosher animal is generally more expensive.
Correct.
So
I can't say it was always like that. That's definitely what it is today.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was like that at that time.
So maybe
at some point it probably was, but I don't know if it was originally,
maybe,
you know, 1,015
years ago.
Maybe
you could apply that today to, like,
Rav Whitman, actually, who's the Rav of Tsanuva, he has an article about this. In Tchumen, he actually does apply it. Reb Jaktrub speaks about it in his article a little bit as well. He says that today, even in Israel, where they unfortunately do sell camel's milk in southern Israel, at times commercially, he says that nobody would ever mix in camel's milk into cow's milk because the camel's milk is way more expensive than the cow's milk. It's not worth it. Okay.
Yeah.
So he wants to argue that maybe it should be mutter, even according to that. However, you know, it doesn't, you know, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Once the gzera was made, you know, at that time, they, you know, that's what they were choshed out. They were concerned about it, so therefore you can't change it any time after that. Okay. So that's where Moshe's kula is questionable if you accept the chasam sofer. Okay. The chasam sofer also pointed out that the minug is to be machmir. Again, so Moshe will say that minug doesn't apply when there's government supervision. It happens to be also that minug in the United States, at least for many years, was not necessarily like the chasam sofer. Maybe the minug was that many people did not keep chalav Israel. So, again, that's another point to consider, that even if the Chasam Sofer says the minhag was to be machmir, that was in Europe, in America, you know, maybe not. But today, Chalav Yisrael is much more common, easily accessible. Question is, even if you'd be making in the 1950s, maybe today there's more of a say you should be machmir. That's a question. It depends on who you ask. You should know Soloveitchik also agrees with Moshe here. Soloveitchik also was matir. He included also, he used this reason of supervision. He also gave two other reasons. Number one, he combined the pre-chadash. He says we can use the pre-chadash as a factor for leniency. And that's number two. And number three, he said also, who's milking cows today? Are non-Jews really milking cows?
Machines.
Very good, Malka. Machines are milking the cows. Maybe the gzera of Chalav Achim never applied when the machines are milking the cows. Technically. Just the gzera was for people, but not for machines, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem. That's what Soloveitchik wants to suggest. Many other poskim don't mention that idea, so they probably disagree, but that's what he held. Okay. The Chazon Ish, by the way, also agreed with the Heter here. It's in Siman Mem Aleph, I think, in Yerodea. The Chazon Ish seems to be more in line with the Pre-Chadash. I think he doesn't really talk about Rav Moshe's idea, but he assumes that, put it this way, he assumes that the idea of government supervision will help you and tell you, and in general will help support the Pre-Chadash's opinion. He thinks, anyway, the Chasam Sofer is difficult. Okay, he doesn't like the Chasam Sofer's ideas, the way he explains sources. Yeah. He therefore says the Chazon Ish is Nekel based on following the Pre-Chadash. Okay. Now again, Lamaisa, I can't believe the Chazanish actually told people they actually could drink Chalav Achim. But in his story, he seems to be Mekel. Yeah. Other than those three, disagree. Most other poskim that are in print, including the Chalkas Yaakov and the Shevet Halevi and the Chas Yitzchok and many others, are Machmir and feel that government supervision, Halacha Lamaisa, is not enough to rely on to permit the milk, and therefore they say that it's Osir.
Not kosher?
They say the Chalav Achim is Osir. And it's a serious issue. Most people in Eretz Yisrael, again, in Israel, all the milk is Chalav Yisrael. Most people in Israel are pretty machmir about it. People here, if you give them, you know, even Akas Chalav, oh my gosh, I can't eat that, you know? Even regular people, not, you know, from Haredi Jews. It's very different here than in America, okay? Most people here are machmir. And most
people... America that has government.
Well, in Israel, they also have it, but
okay,
not... Exactly, because they do allow camel milk here. So it's a little bit different. And though it's true that cow milk is more expensive, but the Rabbanut is machmir because they serve, you know, they have cow milk, and because it's just easy to get Chalav Yisrael here. It's employed Jews in the business. There's no reason to import Chalav Achim from other places. It's not needed. Baruch Hashem, the Israeli cows are quite robust. They know how to give lots and lots of milk.
Except for that time when we had a butter shortage.
That's right. There was a time a few months ago there actually was a milk shortage, and nobody knew exactly why. But it was around Rosh Hashanah. Maybe the cows were, like, fasting for,
who knows what. In America,
I don't know.
So expensive.
Yes, it is expensive. Chalav Yisrael milk.
It spoils quickly.
It's better than it used to be, but you're right. It definitely spoils much faster. Because they have to leave it out longer, because it takes, you know, they import it so many different places. It's not always good.
My cousins, when they come over, I always...
Yeah, but it's better. In the New York area, it's not as bad. It's because they have to use, meaning in other places, you just milk the cows right nearby, whatever it is. They don't have to transport it across the country. Halal Yisrael milk is a little harder to get, so that's probably why. Okay, anyway, so this is the machlokas about Halal Yisrael. Okay. Most of you, I think, are makil on Halal Akum in America. And there are stands for reason that you could be makil here as well in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's not around.
What? The OU, of course, the OU's milk is Chalav Akum. Okay, the OU can give a hashgacha on milk. The reason they do that is only for vitamin issues and other kinds of things like that.
And Kalim,
the OU's hashgacha on milk does not mean the milk is Chalav Yisrael. Okay, everybody got that? That's, I probably know that already, but just in case you didn't.
So the Hershey's like...
Okay, so that's the last step.
What is the story of Alkas Chalav Akum? Okay, what is Alkas Chalav Akum?
The powder.
Good. Okay, this is powder milk. Okay.
So the Haaretz Tzvi, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, in source number 5, discusses Avkas Chalav Akum. Aldas Avkas Chalav Totzeret America. Okay, powdered milk from America. Nishalti Aldas Avkas Chalav Abba Me America. Benasad Vatei Chalushet Shalahem. It's made in their factories. Me Chalav Shenechalav Ein Yisrael Reu Chalav Stam. Imze Kasher Lachias Yisrael Olam. So he basically says, what he wants to tell you. We haven't done this yet in terms of the cheese, but what he tries to say is that in some of the cases of cheese, you can be makil on milk in the cases of cheese because it's changed form. Okay, so he says, go 3 lines from the bottom. Lefiza, right in the middle of the 3rd line from the bottom. Lefiza ba'avkas chalav after megra gara mitzad shegamash gmas yasoei de akum. Even though it's worse than chalav Yisrael because and worse than cheese because it's the whole process is done by a non-Jew. Mikolakam zilbas or taima. He says, look at the reason. The mitzad chalav hariyo meres lach pi. Okay, he says, the case here also is that you're going to be freezing the milk for powdered milk. And it's known that in our case of freezing the milk, that you will not create, there won't be chalav tameh in that situation. Similar to the cheese, where milk that's used for cheese cannot possibly be chalav tameh because milk which is chalav tameh does not actually turn into cheese. It doesn't work. Okay? And in terms of the powder for the goy, he says that's not included in the gzera of cheese, because this is not cheese. Okay, the way they make the powder is not the same way they make cheese. So he says you have the kula of the cheese in that it changes form. Okay, and you know that there won't be any chalav tameh there, but at the same time it's not included in the isra of cheese because it's not cheese. The Chazon Ish, by the way, is very much against the Haaretz Tzvi here. Okay, the Chazon Ish.
Basically, what he does is he compares it to cheese, which we didn't, unfortunately, have time to learn about today. But cheese, basically, we hold, is not, there's no problem. Cheese is usher, okay? Cheese, gvias akum is usher, but at the same time, in terms of milk issues, milk which is used for cheese cannot possibly be from chalav tameh, because chalav tameh does not turn into cheese, just practically, but CS-wise, it doesn't happen. Okay. Again, we have to deal with cheese a little more to discuss that, but that's basically the rule. So the Haaretz Tzvi says here also, you know that the milk that becomes powder is not chalav tameh, but it's not turning into cheese. So you don't have the gzera of the cheese here, but you do. You can have the kula of the cheese that there's no problem of the milk being chalav tameh. Therefore, he says it's mutter. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says, well, what are you talking about? You can make non-kosher milk into powder. That is possible. So the whole principle of the Haaretz Tzvi falls down the tubes. He says it totally collapses because he says it is possible to make powdered milk from chalav tameh. So the whole principle that he's basing it on is not really true. Therefore, he disagrees with the Haaretz Tzvi. Lemaisa today, the Rav Anut in Israel relies on the Haaretz Tzvi as makil for milk dairy products with powder in them. The best example is chocolate. Okay, chocolate with Rav Anut Hasher usually will say on the back of kat mechil of kat chalav mechir of kat chalav akum. It has non-Jewish, non-Jewish milk. It's not coming from other places imported from outside of Israel. And they're relying on the Haaretz Tzvi for that. The Mahadran Hashgachas, as we mentioned at the beginning of the year, the Mahadran Hashgachas will not have that.
Okay. In America.
Yeah.
When is this the reason why?
Okay, one second. Just give me one more second. I forgot. Also, the yogurt and the dairy stuff and the puddings I mentioned at the beginning of the year also contain afkas chalav nachr because, again, they don't have actual milk, but they have enzymes and emulsifiers and preservatives and all these things which are based on milk, but they're not taken in the form of milk whatsoever. So according to the Haaretz Tzvi, it stands to reason, though again, this is not 100% pasha, but it stands to reason. This is what the Rabbanit assumes, that those types of products also, if they have dairy stuff, but it's not actual dairy milk, that you could be making also based on the Haaretz Tzvi, and therefore the Rabbanit, all their puddings and yogurts and stuff like that, is using this kula. The Mahadran Hashgachas, as I mentioned, do not use them. Yeah, Talia, in America.
In America, like Hershey's or whatever.
Okay, so everything in America, as I said before, even the milk in America for the OU and, you know, the Chaf Kei and da-da-da-da-da, they're makil on Chalav Akum based on Rav Moshe, and they have no problem with that. Kol Shekein, certainly they would say that any Hershey or things that are OUD that have, you know, dairy stuff inside, certainly they would say that that's mutter based on Rav Moshe and based on Har Tzvi.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Before Marishan Moshe's tshuva, he says that chalav that was like government supervised.
Yeah.
He said that's chalav Yisrael, or it's like.
Rav Moshe says it's as if you the Jew saw it, which basically means it's ke'ilu was chalav Yisrael.
Does he actually use the term that it is chalav Yisrael?
No, he says it's kiri yamash. He says it's as if you saw it. If it's as if you saw it, means it's as if it's chalav Yisrael, because chalav Yisrael simply means that the Jew saw it. The Jew doesn't have to do the actual milking, the Jew has to watch it. Okay.
But if someone says, I think I asked you this, but is it a nishba? Like, if you, like, decide, okay, I'm like, let's say I decide during a certain day, I'm going to keep focusing on, right?
Right.
Is that considered, like, I'm probably.
So if you accept upon yourself the idea of Chalav Yisrael as a minhag, that will be similar to what the Chasam Sofer said, that that's a minhag which is binding, and therefore you have to keep it. Now, what you should do is, number one, you say Bli Neder. Number two, make sure that if you accept it if you're accepting it only for a certain time. Say, I'm only accepting it for this specific time and not for afterwards.
Do you have to say it? Okay.
You should, it's better to say it, but you probably don't have to say it. You probably can just have it in your mind. Okay. Yeah, but it's better to say it. It's better to say it if you can, because it's a question of dvarim shivalevi and dvarim, whatever. Better to say it.
Business?
What do you mean? Okay. Again, there are more marakomas on this question. There are some posts that were makel for chalav akum b'shas ha'dechak. There was Levitzvi Hoffman in Germany in a case where they were sick or whatever. They needed to have chalav akum, so he was makel. There are other posts that are willing to, you know, sometimes factor in the idea of government supervision, but not l'chachiva. So again, it depends today on who you ask and what you feel. Again, in my mind, the Rav Moshe's kula is very, very solid. However, you know, there are a lot of shittos that disagree, and if it's easy to get chalav Yisrael and it stays for a long time, whatever it is, definitely is a nice chumrah to a nice chumrah to keep. Okay, any other questions? Good. Okay, so we will stop here. So now.